Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Ray Paquette. I'm your duty elder today. I welcome everybody here. I would ask that if there are any visitors in our congregation this morning, if they would take the time to sign the guest book out by the front entrance and join us after the service for fellowship and coffee and other goodies. Reverend English?
Yep, thank you. Thanks, Ray. Ray is one of our new... please be seated. I like to stand up always. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll tell you, if this was about 1850, we'd be standing a long time in a Presbyterian church. Because we stood to hear all these things being said, we stood to sing, and we sat to pray. So you were always praying to pray because you could get off your feet for a minute. Ray is one of our newest elders on our session, and we're really glad to have him here helping. We also want to thank Helena for stepping in this morning, as Renata's away for the day. And I also wanted to point out that the office will be closed tomorrow because it's Victoria Day weekend. And after the service today, for anybody who didn't get to last week's membership overview, I will be doing that again today in the McRae Room, which is just down here in the extension to the church. If you're interested in becoming a member here at Burlington East, it's an opportunity to learn about what that means. And you may have questions, you can certainly come and ask me those. In your bulletin, I wanted to point out just this one insert, double-sided insert, for Food for Life. This is just a reminder of different things that we supply for Food for Life on Mondays to our community. And I like the way that Lorna put this together for us with photos. I always like things that communicate multiple ways. And normally we say, you know, boxes of cereal, lunch items, we leave it at that. Well, we've said what kinds of cereal possibly, and also given you pictures. Stick it in your pocket when you're out shopping next time. And you go, oh, there's something, recognize Raisin Bran or whatever it may be, and you'll be able to hopefully tag your memory to help us supply up the stock that we need for those days. I think that covers everything other than what you may find. It's self-printed. Please look over the bulletin. There's a lot of important announcements of things coming up in our congregational life. And I just ask that we just take a moment now to gather our thoughts and prepare for worship. Light the Christ candle this morning is a reminder of Christ's presence manifested through the Spirit of God. We'll be talking about the Comforter. God is with us now. God is with us always.
The responsive call to worship is found in your bulletin. Bless the Lord, O people, sing.
Let the sound of praise ring out.
Come and hear what the Lord has done.
The Lord who has made everything.
Our first hymn this morning is O Worship the King, number 313 in hymnal.
Thank you.
Thy mercies, how tender, firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. I stand over here because we're coming to our time of prayer, of confession, adoration, followed with the Lord's Prayer. And here we have the cross, the symbol that we just take for granted is at the front of the church. Ours is a nice one that's been put up there and lit up so we can see it. See, Ray. And this is the time in which we really need to come and reflect on why this is here, what the cross truly means. It's a symbol of the church that's been around for thousands of years now, a symbol that we very often take for granted. And we wear it on our neck. In fact, I was watching a show on TV, the talk show, and an actress came on to be interviewed, and she had about 7 or 8 of them around her neck, and she's Jewish. It was just a symbol of fashion. It meant nothing. But for us, it means something much more. That empty cross of Christ, where we can come to the foot of that cross, as we do each Sunday, to reflect on the things that we have been encountering through our lives through this past week, the times when we've stepped away from what God is truly calling us to remember the cross and the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, you not only ask us to repent, but you give us a true assurance of forgiveness because of that empty cross. And we come before you, Lord, in these prayers this morning, remembering the many blessings that you give to us. You give us life. And sometimes we think our life maybe isn't going so well. But as a prayer that I read just this very morning was saying that I may have aches and I may have pains, but I am alive. I have life because of you. And we thank you for that, Lord. It's much more than just that old phrase of, well, I'm vertical or I'm on this side of the grass, so to speak. It's that you've given us the blessing of life this very day, and you give it to us repeatedly. And it is only a blessing from your grace alone that we have this. Lord, we also come before you today thanking you for that. We come to you, Lord, today to acknowledge in our prayer that's being said here on our behalf, but as people are sitting and thinking and contemplating in this prayer, that we're not always keeping your commandments. And the primary commandment we have, Lord, is to love you and love our neighbors, it seems, because Christ really clearly makes that statement to us. And there are times in this past week when we have not loved you and loved our neighbor as ourselves, truly in that sense. There's been times, Lord, when we've chosen to do what we wanted above what somebody else could need. There's times, Lord, in this week when we've just clearly turned our back on that opportunity. And so we come before you, Lord, asking you to wash us in that water of life that we often reflect on in this service when we think about our baptism, when we pour water into the baptismal font. Wash us in that water of life again, Lord, that we may live through the grace and mercy of Jesus, who emptied that cross. Because not only did he die, he conquered death and rose again. We thank you, Lord, that you listen to us and hear us, that you forgive us in Christ. And Lord, we now gather as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sisters and brothers, God forgives, God restores, and God strengthens us through that risen Christ. Know that we are forgiven and we are at peace because of him. Praise be to God. Join together now in our children's hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me, number 634. And during verse 3, if there's any children here today, we'll have them come forward for a time together. any of you that are on the internet on a regular basis and have the sort of that social media presence, and maybe not a lot of you here do, sometimes maybe thankfully, because I'm on Instagram quite a bit, and some of the things I put on Instagram are, you know, kind of interesting, I guess. One of the things I posted this week was a picture of the minister standing right here, not at this church, but in this position, taken from this angle, and there's nobody in church, because my caption underneath was, the first long weekend of the year, and that's Sunday morning. But I'm surprised. We've got quite a crowd today, and I know there's no kids here particularly this morning. That's, we were kind of anticipating that in one sense, but I still wanted to share a story this morning about to support some of the things we'll be reading about, and particularly the Comforter. I got a new toy. And my niece gave this to me. I collect a lot of Doctor Who things. I have all my sonic screwdrivers and Daleks and things. And this was my newest gift, and he speaks. I don't know if we can hear him. He says, hello, I'm the doctor. And there's the sound with the sonic screwdriver. And I got him here today in particular because I wanted to tell you a story about something that happened for me when I was a child. And it may have happened for you at some point. When I was a child, I had a toy, and it was a soldier, actually, because it was that time period when we all played with soldiers. And apparently these days we're not supposed to as much, but back then we could. If you ever get a moment, go on YouTube and look up 60s TV commercials, and you'll see a lot of them are boys running around with rifles and things and just wouldn't cut it these days. But anyway, that's another story. I remember having my little toy soldier, and I was probably about two, because when I told this story to my mom many years later, she said, do you remember that? And I said, well, yeah. She said, well, you were barely walking. And I said, well, a lot of things I remember from way back when, just the kind of memory I have. Anyway, I had my toy soldier, and I'm going to sit carefully here. As you know, I'm working on my back. But I put him on the ground, and he fell over. Put him on the ground, and he fell over, and I put him on the ground, and he fell over, and I picked him up, and I threw him on the ground. And my mom, because it was Saturday, and I've said this before, my mom cleaned the floors every Saturday at our house, stripped all the wax off, and that's when I smell floor wax, it's Saturday morning to me. My mom came walking in and picked the toy soldier up, and she said, you know, if you put it down gently, he'll stand. And I picked the toy up, and I said, don't worry. I hate it when my mom's right. But she was doing something that we all do as parents, we often do as friends, and that God offers us through the Spirit of God, the Comforter. He's here to help us. The Spirit is here to comfort and help us and guide us. And in our moments of frustration when things aren't going right, the Spirit of God is here to comfort us and calm our hearts and take that moment and just say calmly, just put that there, and it's in place for you. And I can help you in your life and guide you along. So something for us to remember, I think, as grown-ups, the Comforter is here, not as just the Comforter, but as our helper and our provider and our guide. God bless. Let's sing our next two verses seated of our hymn. Come to God now to hear God's word read from Scripture. We take just a moment now to bow our heads in prayer. Let's take a moment and pray. Spirit of God, we're going to be talking about you this morning a little bit, and we pray right now that you can truly comfort us and calm us and guide us as we hear your Scriptures read this morning. Help us to truly hear God's voice through this word, the special word, this Holy Scripture. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our response to Psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 66, verses 8 to 20. And this psalm is kind of midway through that second chapter or segment, I guess, of Psalms. Psalms is broken into five sort of areas. And you'll notice, for instance, one way of identifying that is if you look at the last number of Psalms, they all seem to have one theme about praising God in heaven. So they're divided out, if you look at Psalms, into what seems to be somewhat logical sections. This psalm belongs to that section, the second section, which uses just one name for God. And God has many names, as we read throughout Psalms and the rest of Scripture. And that word in Hebrew is Elohim, which is just simply God. And God is being thanked in this particular case of many things that go on in life. And I think it's very appropriate from our lectionary reading that this is a God who is worthy to be worshipped, and a God who, as we read about as our comforter, is here with us always. Let's read responsibly in Psalm 66.
Bless our God, O peoples, if the sound of God's praise be heard. For you, O God, have tested us. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of happiness, with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what the Lord has done for me. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord should not have listened. But truly God has listened and has given heed to the words of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, or removed steadfast love from me.
Thank you, Ray. Our Old Testament reading is actually taken from the book of Acts. We're reading in Acts because this is still Easter. And in the church, formal church kind of calendar year, this would be the sixth Sunday of Easter is what this is referred to. And there's another couple of Sundays in particular that are still considered part of the Easter season. It's something that I know we don't fully always kind of wrap our heads around. Christmas we think of with Advent and then Christmas itself, but Christmas goes beyond that into January a little ways. Easter we think of certainly with Lent coming up for Easter, but then the Easter period itself goes on for a number of weeks beyond, and this is the sixth Sunday. Now, during these weeks of Easter, we're reading about the Acts of the Apostles and their life that followed the Easter event and the resurrection of Christ, and it's similar in story form, I guess, to reading an Old Testament story, a narrative, so to speak, and we're doing that very thing today. And today's story, as we'll read, is Paul standing up and speaking on behalf of the unknown God. Historically, we need to understand that in the city of Athens, they had sort of a major courtyard area, and many of the structures of these cities were done that way, whether it be a courtyard with buildings all the way around. If you've been to places in Europe or been to Cuba or something like that, you'll notice the same kind of structure with many towns. The center part of town has this big square. In that square, and particularly in Athens, there were statues to all these different gods. It was very cosmopolitan, very much like today in that sense, very cosmopolitan in belief. So cosmopolitan that the Greeks and the Romans of the time put up a statue to an unknown god. There's got to be one out there we don't know, and we're going to put a statue up to that god. Paul's going to stand in front of that statue because the tradition was someone would speak on behalf of religion A and stand in front of the God for that and spout off about whatever they believed and converts or whatever they wanted. Paul stood in front of the unknown God and is going to say what we're going to read today in Acts. Acts 17, beginning at verse 22, page 137 in the New Testament, part of your pew Bibles. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far off from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Our New Testament reading is found in 1 Peter 3, page 234 in the New Testament part of your pew Bible. Peter is talking at length in this particular book, or this letter, this first letter of Peter, about suffering and what it means to suffer. And we all suffer. It seems to be sort of the human condition in so many ways. And Peter is grappling what that suffering means and what the answer to that in so many ways for us as Christians means. He's equating our suffering to the suffering of Christ, or maybe the other way around. Let's read from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. "Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they feared, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ, who suffered for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons were saved through water. And baptism, which is prefigured, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him." And our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. It's page 109 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. This is a continuing story where Jesus is at the Last Supper. So the in their timeline of events here, the cross event has not yet taken place. This is a time after they've eaten and they're sitting around chatting, so to speak. Jesus is saying a number of things that I'm sure at the time, if we put it in that context, they wouldn't have fully understood what he was saying, because they didn't know he was going to die. They didn't know he was going to rise again. They thought things were going to move along marvelously as they had been. This is the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking about leaving them and leaving something behind for them. This is John 14, beginning at verse 15. And it's Jesus speaking. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, number 389, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And we're clearly referring to that Spirit of God, the breath of God. 389. Well, this weekend is a long weekend. It's the first long weekend of our season. It typically heralds the beginning of sort of the summertime, and I have no suit jacket on this morning, so I'm officially in my tradition of wearing white now, I guess. Is that how that works for me? I guess, anyway. It's Queen Victoria's birthday, typically, for us here in Canada, and we set off fireworks and have a wonderful long weekend and have barbecues and family time together. It made me think about this morning about Queen Victoria, and there's been lots of documentaries and some miniseries and whatnot about her life, and she was quite an amazing lady in so many ways as we delve into that. And I came across a story about Queen Victoria, and it goes like this. Once during Queen Victoria's reign, she heard that the wife of a common laborer had lost her baby. Having experienced deep sorrow herself, she'd lost her husband and there's been a lot of that going on in her life with her uncles and father alone. She felt moved to express her sympathy. So she called on the bereaved woman one day and spent some time with her. And after she left, the neighbors asked what the queen had said. Nothing, replied the grieving mother. She simply put her hands on mine, and we silently wept together. What a wonderful story of a queen who took the time to just sit with somebody. Often that's what comfort is, isn't it? Taking that moment. And have someone like the Queen come in and do that and not say a word. The comfort that Victoria offered in this particular story was a kind of after-the-fact sense of comfort, and it was needed. Jesus, as we read about this advocate, this comforter, as it's translated as well, is offering something more than just after something has happened. Certainly he does that too. But he's offering us something in the Spirit of God that happens in our very now, in our moment that we're currently in any given time. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, walks with us, supporting us as we experience life in its moment-by-moment time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, we speak to you through Christ and God in that Trinity sense, We ask that you will truly calm our minds and hearts. This is a busy weekend. There's lots going on, and maybe we all have lots of plans for today and tomorrow and on into the week. Help us to, just for a moment, put those things, put them in a box in our mind and put that box aside so that we can truly hear your voice today through scriptures that have been read and through the sermon that's about to be spoken now. Help us to truly be seeking that comfort that you offer through your Spirit, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We read the word advocate in the translation this morning from the scriptures, but it's also translated in as comforter. And when I heard that word again prepping for this week, there's a I've talked a lot about a band that I played in the 70s and whatnot, a Christian band. We didn't just do music, we did theater as well. In fact, we started out as a children's theater group, and I remember lots of horror stories about that stuff. Children's theater is just one of those things that just has great moments, but also terrifying moments. There was a skit, and I think I may have done it here with the kids at one time. We had a maze set up with chairs in this big auditorium. They turned them on their side, so you had to kind of go through. And we picked, it was probably, I don't know, 50 or 60 kids, you know, at this thing. We grabbed one of the kids and said, you're a volunteer, voluntold, and put a blindfold on them and said, go through the maze. And, of course, we were there to help, but a little bit, so that he didn't get hurt. But he couldn't get through the maze, obviously, because he was blindfolded. So we took another child, blindfolded them, and I helped them through the maze. And the idea was, I'm the comforter, I'm the guide, I'm the helper here, you see? And with God's guidance, we can find our way through life. At the very middle of the maze, we had a big trunk, and we had loaded it with candies. And I mean, just packed full of candy. Didn't think this through when we did the planning. I had this kid, and I walked him down the thing, and we're way down in here, and we're going through here, and I'm on, actually there's a photograph of somewhere I have of that moment just before it happened. I'm down, I'm very thin, and down on one knee, and this child is with me. I take the blindfold, I say, you've reached the treasure, you've reached the goal that we're all searching for. Open it up and see what's in there. And he opened it up, and I looked up, and there was a stampede coming from all four directions. They just climbed over the maze, they didn't care. I don't know if the lesson got through exactly the way we wanted, but it was different. Anyway, we wrote some of these things, and as we carried on in the band, we came across a group back then called Isaac Air Freight. And we did a lot of their material because it was just very off the wall at the time, very much off the wall, I suppose, in some ways now. In fact, it reminded me of one of their skits that we did. It was called The Saving Game, and it was based on that old TV show, The Dating Game. The premise behind it was there was a person that was brought out, and I was the host, and we spoke, and off, and we had people off stage being three different types of saviors. And he had got to ask them questions, just like on the dating game, and then he got to pick a savior at the end. And one of them, of course, was Christ speaking, and we had that set up, but the other two were kind of goofy and talked silly and had all these weird things that you had to do and whatnot. But at the end, Buck Weezer, who's the contestant, wins because he chose Christ. And he doesn't really seem to get much right now because the announcer says, well, Buck, would you like to meet your Savior in person right now? Well, I bet you would. Wouldn't you? I sure would, says Buck. Well, you actually can't see him physically right this moment, but you see he's gone to prepare a place for you, but he's coming back soon and you will be present with the Lord. Well, that's neat, he says, Buck, but what about now? I need something for now. I've got lots of problems and questions. Don't worry, Buck. He left you a comforter. You mean one of those bedspread things? And that's what I remember from that play about today, because often we think of a comforter as being something cozy. The announcer goes on to say, no, Buck, not that kind. I mean the Holy Spirit. He will abide with you forever and will teach you all things. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot in a Presbyterian church. And we refer to the Spirit of God, maybe at times. And I do recall back in those days and some of the struggles that we had interdenominationally, because again, the band and our stage little acting group, we would go around to all kinds of different denominations and do these skits and music and whatnot. We get into conversations with people from different denominations all the time and be a part of watching some of the conversations going on just as much as anything, really. And the whole idea of what the Holy Spirit is and what that means was something that often got a lot of conversation going and still really does today. The word comforter that's used, the word advocate that's used in our reading from today is from a Greek word, and who cares what it is really, but it's from a Greek word, and that word actually is translated as comforter very often because it's something very special, a comforter, an advocate. See, the problem with trying to get that Greek word into English is it has a lot of multiple meanings built into it. It doesn't exactly mean comforter. It doesn't exactly mean advocate. It doesn't exactly mean spirit. It encompasses all of that. So we lose something when we try to put an English word against that particular word. Advocate gets used, like I said. And it's important, I think, today to understand that the word comforter is not just something that you wrap yourself in that funny sense of Buck Weiser's talking about taking a comforter, wrapping it around it to feel cozy with it. It's not that sense of comfort entirely. The word comforter in context that we read in Scripture means called to one's side. So a comforter is somebody who is called to your side. And that's what I meant earlier when I said in the present moment. The moment in which you find yourself, there is someone standing with you. And that's why Jesus spends so much time in this particular reading in John, reassuring the disciples and us, we're never alone. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Ghost will be with you always in your present moment. Take assurance in that. The other thing that we do when we think about Spirit, other than different contexts in which we try to draw that out, I suppose, is we think that this business of the Holy Spirit is something that's only in the New Testament. And you know, I stand up here for years pounding on this pulpit. I suppose I don't pound on the pulpit, I could, but the idea is that saying the same sorts of things again and again, a lot of the things that we read about in the New Testament were not just Christian things, because when they were happening, there were no Christians at that point. There was no church. This was all new. But it wasn't that new, because a lot of it's coming directly from Old Testament experience and that particular storyline that's taking place. They're directly connected to one another. They feed each other in that respect. I mean, Peter, when he's talking in this scripture reading this morning, is quoting from the Old Testament. Paul, when he's addressing the crowd with the unknown God, he's quoting from Isaiah to them. So, you know, they're preaching from the Old Testament. So the idea of the Holy Spirit, we think of as Pentecost and the disciples and Acts and maybe this little bit of story from John where Jesus is talking, but the Spirit of God is rife throughout the Old Testament and called in different ways, but also called Spirit of God. Psalm 51 and Isaiah 63 actually uses the word Holy Spirit, phrase Holy Spirit. But throughout the Old Testament, we hear the Spirit of the Lord, my Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of judgment, fire, justice, your Spirit. The breath of God, the Spirit of God went out on the waters. The Spirit of God's all through the Bible. Not something that sort of got invented for the New Testament purposes. Not something that just suddenly happened in the book of Acts. If we think about some particular stories in the Old Testament that reference the Spirit, Samson, for example, was overcome by the Spirit of God. But his life was a moral disaster. But it's the Spirit of God that gave him the strength that he needed, especially at the end of the story for him, because he was overcome by the spirit of a lot of women that would create a disaster in his life. And we all know that story about Samson's hair being cut off by that woman, that person, put it that way. And as he stands, you know, we see in that Hollywood rendition of, I think it's Victor Mature, maybe he's standing between the two columns, you know, and he's blind and he's got his hair's been cut. The Spirit of God came upon him and gave him the strength to pull the entire temple down. That's the same Spirit of God that Jesus is talking about in John 14, who's a comforter and an advocate. And if anybody needed an advocate, a helper at that point, it was Samson. Saul and David, more Spirit of God happening. Saul was a giant of a man. And as we read in 1 Samuel 10, he was far from self-confident or assertive in his early years. But the Spirit of God came upon Saul And it gave him the power in order to reign as Israel's king. And he denied that spirit as his life went along, and it was removed from him. Samuel speaks to him to tell him that, and he became weak again. And the Spirit of God subsequently fell upon King David, or David who would be king. And David did mighty works because of the Spirit of God working in his life. The Spirit of God spoke to David. We read that through all the Psalms. The Spirit of God spoke to David when he was weak. The Spirit of God was with David when he needed him the most. He was truly a comforter and advocate for King David. That same Spirit of God that I constantly talk about. We read in Psalms this morning. I'm going to find it here. Psalm 66. Blessed be God who has not rejected my prayer or removed steadfast love from me. That word phrase, steadfast love, Hebrew word is hased, hased. Steadfast love of God is not the God what we think about in the Old Testament who's punishing and cruel and mean. We read about a steadfast love that God has for us from Genesis right through to Revelation. Steadfast love that is with us all the time. We have a comforter with us, an advocate with us, a helper and a guide through the Spirit of God. We have a companion. Maybe that's another word we could put on that when we think of comforter. A companion to walk with us through our life and our moments that we need that self, that assurance that we're not alone. Emmanuel, God with us. Another name for Christ himself. The Spirit of God lives with us and is our comforter and our helper. How is the Spirit of God manifested? Well, that's where you get into all the debate. Remember that phrase back in the day, you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and if so, then you can do all these things? I remember being in serious arguments with people. I was always in the middle. I would never like to hold my cards, out there. I kind of hold them back here, even to this day, I suppose, to some degree. But it'll be interesting to watch some of the people debating about all of that. Isn't it interesting when we try to limit our definitions of what God is and how he works, how we get kind of at loggerheads with one another sometimes. One of the ways that the Comforter is manifested for us is sitting right beside you. Look beside you right now. Do it. Look beside you. Yeah, some of you aren't because, he just sat on his own. But right beside you is the manifestation of God's Spirit in your life. Because there's a believer in Christ sitting beside you. And the Spirit of God dwells in each of us. The Spirit of God is with each one of us. So that manifestation of comfort, of advocacy, of kindness, of guidance is sitting next to you right now. Is sitting behind you potentially right now. Is sitting in front of you potentially right now. And I'm astounded, honestly astounded, when I see the behavior coming from people to one another in this congregation and in many Christian believers. The first thought they have is, how can I help you? Do you need a hug? Do you need a couple of bucks? Do you want to go for coffee? Can I just, like Queen Victoria, just come and sit with you for a minute and hold your hand? I'm astounded because, you know what? It's the reason for it is why we're doing it. I talked about that last week. We're not doing it because we're nice people. We're not doing it to earn our way into heaven. We're not doing it for any other reason than what I talked about at the top of our service. This reason right here. The empty cross. This is why we do these things. This is what motivates us. A Christ who died, who grabbed hold of death and took it away, and then came back from the dead to tell us about it. And told us, as we read here in John, I'm not going to leave you alone. Look again. Take a look beside you. Do it. Look beside you. You're not alone, are you? You're not alone. Wow, Jesus said something that was true. I won't leave you alone, and you're not. What a wonderful blessing we have in the Spirit of God, who is much more than just cozy, much more than just that comforter, but is someone who's with us in our moment that we live now. And gives us a sense of an assurance that there is something more ahead of us every day. Gordon Brownville's book, The Symbol of the Holy Spirit, tells us in that book about the Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen, the first to discover the magnetic meridian of the North Pole and to discover the South Pole. He outran the English expedition. On one of his trips, Amundsen took a homing pigeon with him. When he finally reached the top of the world, he opened the bird's cage and set it free. Imagine the delight of his wife way back in Norway when she looked up from the doorway of her home and saw the pigeon circling the sky above. "No doubt," she exclaimed, "he's alive. My husband is still alive." So it was when Jesus ascended. He was gone, but the disciples clung to the promise to send them the Holy Spirit. What joy, then, when the dove-like Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost, when the words that he speaks in John today manifested themselves at Pentecost. What joy we have when we look beside ourselves, right this morning as we've done, and realize we're not alone. God's given each one of us a piece of his Spirit, and we share that with one another. When we just sit with one another, like Victoria did, when we care for each other, God assures us that we're not alone. Let's pray. Lord, there's many, many ways to talk about your Spirit. And as we look in Scripture, we can see the many ways in which your Spirit worked, certainly in the book of Acts and in the Old Testament, and we can see these manifestations taking place. We've experienced many of them ourselves as we've grown in our faith and experienced what it is to be filled with your Spirit. This morning, Lord, we pray that we can understand what it is to be walking with you every day, that we're not alone. And whether that's through someone sitting beside us right now or someone we don't even know who's praying for us, be with us in our moments, Lord. Continue to do so and encourage our spirits with your Spirit. And all of this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. God is a divine giver. He gives us all kinds of things. The Spirit is only one of those. He gives us and gifts us with life and breath and all that is good. In gratitude, it is now time to return our gifts that they can continue the goodness and grace of God in the world today. I thank you for all the gifts that have been given this morning, the faithfulness of the people who are here worshiping you, who are acting not just because, but because they're motivated by the Spirit of God. We ask a blessing on this offering today, Lord, that it can be used to your glory here in our community and the work that you have put before us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to continue what we've been doing in the last couple of weeks in particular, and all the time this morning where we'll have an opportunity for you to speak a name. If there's someone on your heart and in your life, and I know we all have somebody that we know that we can speak of, hold their name up. And you know, the reason we do this, I always like to know the whys, but the reason we're doing this is so when you say that name out loud, we all can focus on it for a moment. We all can offer that name together to God. Again, the Comforter is here. The Comforter is listening and guiding and standing right beside us. And when we say these names, we all together, we're holding that name up to God for God's intervention in their lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this responsibility and this wonderful opportunity that we have every Sunday to come here and stand at the foot of the cross symbolically and offer prayers. There is so much going on in this world today. Turmoil everywhere. And sometimes we are shielded from it in many ways, and other times we feel like we're right in the middle of it. We hold much to you, Lord, in thanks, but we also hold much to you for your intervention. And I thank you that we've been doing this in the last few weeks because truly, Lord, it's your people speaking to you. And so, Lord, in this moment now, we come and unite our hearts and minds. Each one of us is thinking now of that special someone in our life or that certain someone in our life who is in need, whatever it may be. And the need is not as important for us in that corporate sense, but just to know that name, that we can gather together in unity, as Christ has told us to do, and pray for that person. And so, Lord, we take that time now and we offer these names to you. Lord, as Paul spoke, we read in Acts, and spoke on behalf of the unknown God, I offer now an unknown name to you. A name that is on someone's heart in this congregation this morning that hasn't been spoken out loud for all kinds of, maybe different kinds of reasons. I pray for that unknown name, Lord, that unspoken name this morning, because there's a lot underneath it that's in need. There's someone, Lord, whose name can't be spoken this morning in this congregation or that this congregation knows, who's desperate and maybe feels very alone at the moment. We hold that unknown name up to you, God, knowing that it's known to you and you are working at this very moment to intervene in their lives. We thank you for this opportunity, God, to come before you. This opportunity, this privilege, this responsibility that we have to be praying for one another. We know that you listen. We know that you hear. And how do we know that? We can read Scripture and see you in action. We can think back in our own lives, each one of us, where God has been miraculously involved in some capacity. There's lots of proof that you will continue and do work now. We can do this in the confidence that we have in that empty cross through the sacrifice of Christ, through the victory that Christ has given us. And we hold all of this in his mighty name. Amen. Do Join together now in our final hymn this morning. I am the church, you are the church. And I got an entire sermon built around this song. I got to tell you, one of these Sundays you're going to get it. But we are the church. It's not the institution. It's not the building. It's we're the church of God. And let's sing about that this morning, number 475. I am the church, you are the church. We go forth to serve Christ and to be eager to do what is good, as we've been told in Scripture. And as we do this week, remember the words of Jesus. He will give you another comforter, an advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you, the church who are God's people. And now may God, who creates and redeems and sustains, keep you in steadfast faith, buoyant in hope and abounding in love. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you now and remain with you always.